everyone. Today, I'm really thrilled to have with me Management Advisor Luca Delanna to share with us today a little bit more about how to build a network on Twitter. Welcome, Luca.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. I'm really curious to know about your story, about how you got started on Twitter. Could you share a little bit more about that?
I started about 8 years ago. First couple of years, probably, I was very passive. And then I started writing almost every day on Twitter. I'm definitely checking Twitter every single day. And as the years passed by, I started acquiring a very decent following of more than 20,000 people, and especially some people which are very important for me because they are the world experts in their field.
That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And could you share a little bit more about your initial motivations behind why you got on Twitter? Like, who introduced it to you? How did you get started? And why did you want to be on Twitter?
I first joined Twitter to read from some of the world's experts about the fields I was interested in, because Twitter is usually the platform on which the number one people in the world at their craft spend time on. And probably it's because the format is so concise that people who are extremely busy and don't have the time, they still have the time to spend a little bit to write on Twitter. And so the first few years, I was just there learning from those people, reading what they had to say. And then only after a couple of years, I started writing on it.
That's great. And what was the triggering decision, or when did you actually transition? Because you mentioned at the beginning you were quite passive and you were really just reading all of the things that were written by these thought leaders. And then at some point you started to become a content creator on Twitter. What was the trigger and when did you transition?
So what happened was that one day I replied to a world expert in cybersecurity with a piece of information that I thought could be valuable to him. And he immediately retweeted it to his whole audience and thanked me for that. And in that moment, I understood how powerful Twitter could be. I understood that I had what it took to write on Twitter. And actually, it doesn't take much other than having valuable things to share. And from that day, when I saw what was possible, I started spending more time writing about what I was knowledgeable about on Twitter.
I see. So it was that point of time when you realized that you could actually add on some valuable insight, building on to what other people had shared on Twitter, that then helped to build your following. So it sounds like almost like your very first breakthrough that helped you transition from being a passive user to a content creator. But at that time, did you see yourself as a content creator? Did you already know that, oh, I want to build a following, and at some point, perhaps I want to monetize this following or let it be part of my business?
No, I had an idea that I had valuable things to share. I didn't think that Twitter would be the place where to share them because I thought I don't have an audience there. People will not listen to me. So maybe I was thinking about sharing them in other places, such as writing a book. But then I realized that actually on Twitter, there are a lot of people who are interested in what I had to write. And so that would be a perfect venue to share my ideas.
And this is really interesting because you mentioned your book. From what I understand from your work, there's this synergistic relationship between the content that you share on Twitter, which is usually bite-sized piece of information, and also your books. So can you tell us a bit more about how they contribute to each other?
Well, the problem of publishing a book is that even if you publish the greatest book ever, if you don't have an audience, no one will read it. And with Twitter, I had the opportunity by sharing small pieces of content, some of which was what would eventually get into the book. Other times it would be other content from my experience and my research. And I built an audience so that when I had a book, when I published my first book, there were actually people who would read it.
That sounds really interesting. It sounds like you were using Twitter in some way as a litmus test for what kind of long-form content you would then generate. Can you share with us a little bit more about how you went about doing that?
Well, I never did it intentionally. Like, my only intention when I'm on Twitter is if I have something that I think would be valuable to others, I share it. I'm not doing it much for a purpose. But as you share things, you start to realize which questions people might have, what resonates, what maybe I wrote in a way which wasn't very clear. And that fits into the book, improves the book, because you already know which questions the reader might have so that you can write this answer in the book and it becomes much more clearer once it's published.
That's very, very helpful. And could you share with us, were there any other points of time or actions you took that you considered to be breakthroughs in growing your network on Twitter?
Not particularly, like then the growth has been relatively linear. There has been some faster growth during the early days of the COVID pandemic because I was one of the first people writing about it, about the long term of the pandemic. Everyone was preoccupied with what happened the previous day, and I was one of the very few people that started writing about what would happen in months or in years. And I helped people getting prepared for that, and that was probably the moment in which my account grew the fastest.
I see. And it sounds like being able to follow the trends of what is happening in the current moment and yet being able to offer a fresh perspective or some value add that other people don't necessarily have seems to be the key to a breakthrough or having exponential growth.
Yes, but only about current events which are relevant to your expertise. Like, there are a lot of people which will write about the current thing just because it's the current thing, but because it doesn't overlap well with their expertise, they write things that are not valuable, and I would avoid that. But if there is a current event which does overlap with your expertise, then definitely go share about it. And that will probably resonate a lot.
Thanks for that. What are some challenges or obstacles that you face while building your network on Twitter? I know right now, as you mentioned, you have quite a respectable following of around 20,000 followers, but surely at some point earlier on, you experienced some difficulties or challenges.
Well, didn't really experience any challenge. What happens is that some months you get more positive responses and more followers than other months. I think it's important in the months in which maybe the growth is a bit slower, not to do anything particular about it, because sometimes it's just natural. And if instead you try too hard, you will start writing lower quality content just because you feel like you need to post more to get more engagement. But if by doing so you lower your quality, people will notice and maybe they will start unfollowing you, or anyway, you will lose the attention of some of your most valuable followers. So, my advice is to only write when you have something valuable to write about. Really don't waste your followers' attention because that's your most valuable asset.
In your opinion, is there any way of consistently growing your Twitter following or being able to measure how fast you can grow? For example, there might be some marketeers who manage a Twitter account and they have some KPIs as to how many as a number of followers that they would like to attain by the end of the month or by the end of the year. Do you think that there are any strategies that we could employ to systematically grow our following, or do you think it's really organic and it depends on so many factors outside of our control?
I think that the only strategy is to have valuable things to share, which means to focus on activities that are upstream that. So activities with which you get valuable content to share, And it shouldn't be anything such as, oh my God, I need to reach the KPI. I should better write something today, because if I don't write something today, I will have a day in which I don't write anything. Because the moment that you share something and it doesn't resonate with people, you will lose engagement. Those people will be less likely to pay attention to the next thing that you write. And if today was you wrote something that was very banal, and next day you write something which instead is genius, maybe people will not read the genius thing tomorrow because yesterday you lost their attention. So I really advise to not try to force the growth. And if you want to force the growth, do those activities upstream which produce more expertise or more skill from your side so that you can write more valuable content.
I see. So it's really about quality over quantity and not forcing the growth and allowing it to be as it is.
Definitely. One of the fastest growing people I follow on Twitter writes two tweets per week. But they are always valuable. And I think that's much more important than writing multiple times a day. Now, of course, if you have good content, definitely post it more often. But the bar for quality is the most important thing.
Okay, I see. And now I would guess, like, for me, I see you kind of as an expert. So I'm curious to know, as an expert, someone who already has all this knowledge and expertise, what advice would you give your old self, assuming you could speak to the you, the Luca from 8 years ago when you just started out? What do you know now about growing a network on Twitter that you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, one thing is, when you have a small following, people will not read your tweets for the simple reason that you don't have followers yet. And so your focus should not be to write in your feed where very few people read what you have to say, but it should be on replying to people, because that's where you get seen when you have a small following. And of course, there should be valuable replies, not replies just to get the views, but replies that get you the following. And you have a reply that gets your following when you contribute with something valuable. It could be something funny, it could be something interesting, it could be something that makes people think, but it has to be something valuable. And only after you have a certain following, then it becomes important to post on your feed. But your priority as you start growing up is replies.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Any leaving thoughts or maybe even questions for us to ponder over that you think would be valuable to share?
I think that what's really important is to find the right platform for you. So for example, for me, it's Twitter. For other people, it might be a different platform, but it's really important that you consider the characteristic of the platform, in my opinion, even above where your audience is. Because there are some platforms where it's true that your audience is there, but the way the platform is structured doesn't allow you to grow very, very easily. I'm making some examples. Instagram, it's a platform in which it's relatively hard to grow fast if you are not already a celebrity, such that people find you somewhere else and then they follow you on Instagram. But it's very hard to grow Instagram first if you're not famous yet. Whereas, for example, Twitter is a platform where it's much easier to grow Instagram, to grow Twitter first, so from the platform. TikTok is another platform with different characteristics, which might be good for some. If you are good with videos, if you appeal for... TikTok is great if you appeal to a mass audience, and it's not good if you appeal to a niche audience. So that's another consideration. But find the platform which is right for you, because otherwise you will spend so much time on the wrong platform. And even if you have great content, you will be going uphill and your growth will be so much slower than what you deserve.
So if I understood correctly, what you're saying is you should find the right platform that best fits your strengths and also the kind of content that you're sharing, and prioritize that rather than necessarily where you think your audience might be. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that and the stage of your career. For example, whether you're already recognized as an expert in your field or not, whether people already have a place where to find you and you want to give them a platform to follow you, or whether you expect people to find you from the platform.
Okay. Well, it's been a really enriching time. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Luca.
Thank you for having me here.